Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Ethan. Isaiah chapter 6, please, tonight. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, stand please if you can one more time with me, just to read a few verses here. Beginning in verse 1, Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. They must have some type of extrasensory perception or something, because how can they fly while they're covering their eyes? Have you figured that one out, okay? One cried unto another and said, y'all, maybe y'all not paying attention. But anyway, verse 3. One cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That's not cigarette smoke either, by the way. And then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the capital K King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Let's bow for prayer. Father, Lord, what a blessing it is to read these verses. I pray for a sweet spirit to continue tonight. And Lord God, give me your holiness, your spirit. Fill me, Lord, from my mind, my heart, Lord, my mouth, everything. Lord, may it be acceptable and precious in thy sight. Lord, speak to your people tonight. May we sit still. May we listen. May there be no distractions. Father, we're going to exalt you here tonight. And Lord, we know the devil despises that, abhors that. So, Father, I pray you'd bind that strong man, God, and help us to do the work, Lord God, through the freedom and liberty that your spirit must have here tonight. Please rid us of all distractions. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated tonight. I want to talk to you out of this chapter here for a few minutes tonight before the Lord's Supper on this subject, a clear vision. A clear vision. What we have here tonight in Isaiah chapter 6, dearly beloved, is an amazing account of a vision that the prophet Isaiah had of the Lord. He says in verse 1, he says, I saw also the Lord. Amen. That's what he means. Now, let me say something before we go any further. We're not charismatic. We're not Pentecostal. We don't have visions anymore. God does not reveal himself in dreams and visions anymore today. This was a special revelation for a specific purpose given unto Isaiah, notice, before the finalized word of God. Okay? But Isaiah did see the Lord, the Bible says in verse 1, a clear vision of the Lord. I think if we want to have a good Thanksgiving, I believe we want to have a good Thanksgiving, I believe it all starts with this very thing right here. As we prepare to observe the Lord's table tonight, dearly beloved, let's think about this. We're going to remember our Savior's broken body. We're going to remember our Savior's shed blood. And I think we need to meditate a little while on who our Savior really is.
That's right.
Seth, I'm not going to tell you to sit still. You're not going to distract this whole service. You understand me? If I have to tell you again, I'm going to embarrass you. Now, you come to church to listen, so listen. You can talk later. This is Thanksgiving Day. This is Thanksgiving week. Okay. And I truly believe that what we need tonight, right, more than anything,
amen,
more than anything, is a clear vision,
yes,
of our Lord.
Yeah.
I believe we'll be much more thankful.
Yeah.
When we get a clear vision of our Lord.
Right.
I believe we'll be much more thankful for our salvation during this very special time of year. Unfortunately, we know, and I'm not going to be negative tonight. I don't want to be negative, but the world just has their own ideas of what Thanksgiving is all about.
Yeah.
But that's not what a child of God ought to focus on. I don't mind eating, and go ahead and eat, enjoy it, because remember, it's the abundance that God has given you.
Right.
And I understand that. And surely we can, but we need to remember that it's all because of this Lord that Isaiah saw a clear vision of here in our text in Isaiah chapter 6. And let me just bring out a few thoughts briefly tonight. Number one, quickly, notice the who of this vision. The who of this vision. You understand, in John chapter 1 verse 18, don't turn there, just listen, and 1 John 4:12, both, they say the exact same words: no man hath seen God at any time.
That's right.
Now wait a minute.
Right.
What about Isaiah 6?
Old Testament.
What about Isaiah? No, it says at any time. Now, so there's something there we've got to understand. In light of those two verses then, there in the New Testament, when it says no man has seen God at any time, Exodus 33, verse 20, God told Moses, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live."
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So, who is this?
Right.
Understand something. Did Isaiah really see the Lord? The answer, my friends, dearly beloved, tonight is absolutely yes. But what we need to understand is, although no man has ever seen the face of God in the fullness of His glory, Isaiah, you know who Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6? It was none other than our Savior. It was none other than our Savior. Now, if that doesn't stir you up a little bit, but you got to think about this. God said God is a spirit.
Amen.
And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't see a spirit.
Right.
A spirit is compared to the wind. You can see where it comes and you can see what it does. And you, maybe with directions it's blowing, but you can't see the actual wind. But this is a vision of none other than our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice in verse 1, He says, "I saw also the Lord," capital L, lowercase O-R-D. Now, if you have the right Bible, that says capital L, lowercase O-R-D. But now if you jump down into verse 3, it says, "One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D of hosts."
Right.
Now, wait a minute. We're talking about, is that the same person? It is the same person, but I want you to understand, the Lord just simply means master.
Right.
But the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is Jehovah. That is the Lord God Almighty. That is the Trinity, the three in one. That is God, the self-existent Almighty. That is Jehovah God. That is all three: Lord, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. That is why it says in verse 3, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity right there. But Isaiah says in verse 3, he says, "I saw the Lord. I saw the Master." When Jesus healed those lepers, remember, they called Him Jesus, Master. When people talked to Jesus during His ministry on the earth here, they called Him Lord.
Right.
And if you read it in the New Testament, it's not capital O-R-D, it's just capital L, lowercase O-R-D. I'm just teaching you something today, that when you see that word Lord, it just means Master. It's referring to, but when you see all of those caps in the Old Testament, that's Jehovah. That is the Godhead.
Amen.
That is God the Father, Son, and Spirit. That's all three. So who did He see? He saw Jesus, but when you see Jesus, you see it all, dearly beloved.
Yeah,
that's right.
When you have Christ in you, you have all of God in you. The Bible says that in Him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Glory to God. When Isaiah saw this vision, when you see Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to see Jesus at the great white throne, where there's going to be sinners cast into the lake of fire. They're going to stand and they're going to see this capital L, capital O-R-D, Jesus, Lord God Almighty. That's who they're going to see.
That's right.
Because God is a spirit. You see, when the Bible says that Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 3 was God manifest in the flesh, this is God manifesting himself to Isaiah. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. I want you to notice number 2, the where. Where of this vision, the where. Notice in verse 1 again, he's sitting upon a throne. He's sitting upon a throne. He's sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. He's sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. He is called the King. He is called the King in verse 5. The King, the Lord of hosts. The where of this vision, though, what I want you to see is he's sitting on the throne in heaven. He's high and lifted up, dearly beloved. He is in heaven. His train fills, I want you to notice, the temple. He is high and lifted up. He is King. Verse 5 says, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
Yeah, man.
What's the big deal about that? Jesus is King.
Yep.
Amen. That's right.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, wait a minute.
Come on.
He hadn't died yet.
Right.
Not here.
That's right. Yep.
As far as I know, there is no time with God. I understand God is not time, and as we know it, He's infinite, eternal. But in history, as far as we know it, in the timeline of events, He hadn't died yet.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
He hadn't died yet. Matter of fact, if you want to go and get real technical here, even after he died and was buried and rose again, he's still not king right now. He is priest. He came as prophet. And he is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Seated at the right hand of the Father as priest.
Yep. Amen.
But one day, listen to me, one day he's coming back as king.
Yeah.
And you know, this is the Jesus we're going to see.
Amen.
This is the Jesus we're going to see. Because he's king.
Yeah.
You see, there is no king like Jesus. He is our friend. He's our Savior. Absolutely. He is our Lord. He's our God. But don't ever forget, dearly beloved, that he is our King.
Yes.
What's the big deal about that, preacher? Well, one thing, he's high and lifted up.
Yes,
he's not our equal.
That's right. Yeah.
He's not the big man upstairs.
Come on.
He's not the big guy.
Come on.
He is our King.
Yes.
He is the King. And the Bible tells us, you know, and don't turn over there for sake of time, because I know we had a lot to do tonight, but I'm just going to read you these verses, precious verses. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and following. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And that things in heaven too. He's the King of heaven too.
Right.
He is the King. The King. In heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. What's that? That's those wicked, evil spirits, the devils that you fight every day. Those things under the earth, the Bible says that every knee, every single one of them, no matter whether they like it or not, no matter what they think about it, no matter whether or not it makes them want to vomit or whether or not they're rejoicing, the truth is every knee shall bow and every tongue of all of those people shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God will get all the glory. See, he's sitting on the throne in heaven.
Amen.
He's the King. There is no higher authority.
That's right.
Amen.
There is no higher authority. There's lots of lower authorities.
Yep. Right.
There's lots of lower authorities. But there's none higher than Jesus, our King.
Amen.
I'm talking about just a little bit of God's people understanding that we have a King in heaven who is higher than the highest, who is greater than the greatest. He is the one. He is the only, the King of Kings. He is. But listen, he's in heaven on the throne.
That's right.
He has all authority, all power in heaven and in earth.
Amen.
What do you got going on tonight that you think maybe is impossible? We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. I'm talking about the King, the Lord of Hosts. By the way, that title, the Lord of Hosts, that means he is the captain. He is the general. He is the reigning captain and highest ranking officer in God's army.
Amen.
That's right.
He is the Lord of Hosts. Ghost. Amen. When we were in the military, we had a commander in chief. But I'm talking about the commander of all of heaven and earth and things under the earth. I'm talking about the King of all glory. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, who is not just the King, but he's also the Lord of hosts. And if there's ever a battle that he has ever fought, listen to me, he's undefeated. He's undefeated. He's never seen defeat. Amen. He is the Lord mighty in battle. He cannot lose. And he is our Savior.
Amen.
And y'all ought to smile a little bit.
Amen.
You ought to smile a little bit. I'm not trying to get you excited. I'm talking about Jesus here. We need to realize he's the one that we are singing about. He's the one that we're preaching about. He's the one that we're giving testimony about. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that they spit on. He's the one that they pulled his hair out. He's the one that they punched in. He's our King. He's our Savior. They cannot take that away. Nobody can take that away. He's seated on the throne in heaven.
That's right.
He's high and lifted up. I also want you to notice at the end of verse 1, he's in the temple. He's high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Amen. This is the house of God. His throne room is in the temple. I mean, they can put all the city halls they want to downtown. His throne room's in the temple. Hey, glory to God. I mean, the king of so-and-so can rule from the palace of such-and-such, but his throne room is in the temple, amen? His throne room is in the house of God. And glory to God, I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight, where Jesus Christ is king in the house of God tonight, where he is high and lifted up and exalted above all things in the temple. In his house. It's a blessing to be in the house of God, isn't it? But you know, it's really a blessing to be in the house of God, like my friend Pastor J.D. Weedle says, it's really a blessing to be in the house of God when God's home.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. That's right, brother.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I like it when God's home.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Well, as far as I can tell, God's always home in his temple. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we just don't get a clear vision of him.
That's right.
We just don't see him. We're not looking for him.
Amen.
We're looking for somebody that we can maybe boss around.
Come on.
Maybe somebody we can tell what to do.
Come on.
Maybe somebody we can
help us
overcome when he tells us something we don't like.
Come on.
Right.
But in his house, seated on his throne, high and lifted up, we need a clear vision of this Lord.
Right.
We need a clear vision of this Savior like Isaiah got this day. I'm telling you, this is what we need tonight, and this is what America needs. I remember preaching something like this along these lines at a church one time up in Oklahoma. And I am not, okay, Lord, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say something. I'm bragging on you a little bit. Okay, how's that? I'll turn it positive. No negativity tonight. But I was preaching in this old church up in Oklahoma one time, and I was preaching about the glory of God and this high authority and Jesus and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. And all the earth is filled with his glory. And that church just sat there like,
yep.
I mean, I thought I was at a funeral. You know what I'm talking? That was in God's house.
Yeah, that's right.
Those people, I guarantee you, those people did not get a clear vision of Jesus that day. I don't think it was my fault. Maybe it was. But all I did was say what the Bible said. All I did was preach about Jesus. All I did was say, look, this is our Savior. This is our Lord. This is what America needs, amen. A clear vision of who our Jesus really is.
That's right. That's right. Come on, preach it.
They didn't invite me back. Anyway, I hope you understand. I'm not being negative. I'm just bragging on you. Amen. Isaiah went to the house of God, and he saw in the house of God, amen, high and lifted up, the King of kings and Lord of lords, our Savior. Listen, our Savior. Now hold your place there and go back to Psalm chapter 5 real quick. Psalm chapter 5, if you will, verse 7. Psalm chapter 5, verse 7. But as for me, you know what? Everybody else can do what they want to do.
Yeah.
This is something we need to decide. As for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. That's what we need to do. Amen. Every time we come to the precious house of God, we need to make a decision. As for me, I don't know about anybody else in church. I don't know about anybody else in the neighborhood. But I will come into thy house, and I will worship in the multitude of thy mercy. And I will fear you, O God, because I realize I am in your holy temple.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
That's our Savior. Look in Psalm 11, verse 4.
Amen.
Psalm 11, verse 4.
Oh.
The Lord is in his holy temple.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord's throne is where? In the heaven.
Heaven.
Hallelujah. That just makes me want to get there a little bit faster. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in the heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. He's the King of kings. Listen, he's higher than anybody you think is high. He's higher.
Come on. Amen.
President or no president, highest ranking, whatever. Listen, this is our God, and he is in his holy temple, and he is on his throne in heaven, and glory to God. That's exciting to me, amen. As for me, I'll just get excited, hallelujah. Psalm 65, look over there. Psalm 65, verse 4. Amen. This is good. Whew. Man, I'm feeling like a little bit of shouting coming on. Amen. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. God chose us, you understand?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Amen. You didn't choose him, he chose you.
Yes, amen.
He found you.
Yep.
And causes to approach unto thee that he may dwell in thy courts. And that's what God wants.
Amen.
See, God is already in his holy temple.
Yes.
God is already on the throne in heaven.
Right.
God is already dwelling in his holy, righteous temple.
Yes.
And he says, you know what I've chosen you to do? I want you to come unto me.
Amen.
I want you to come into my house.
Yeah.
I want you to come into my temple. I want you to be with me.
Yeah.
I want to share this glory with you.
Yes. Amen.
Does that sink in?
Amen. Amen.
Look what he says. That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house.
Amen.
Even of thy holy temple.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, Lord. Where would we be without his holy house? Where would we be without his holy temple? Where would we be without his presence in his holy temple? His presence on his throne in his holy temple. And listen, this is an invitation to you and to me here to come into his glory-filled presence in his house. Church, listen, what in the world does a person do without church? I don't know, but as for me, I don't want to find out.
Yeah.
I thank God for this Lord. I thank God for this Savior. I thank God for his house, his temple, his holy place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Whew. Lord, thank you. Thank you, God. I don't even think I want to say anymore. It's just I'm just all of a sudden feeling like God's here.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen.
How many times did we come into his house with so little regard for what I'm saying?
Yeah, come on,
preach it.
So little regard.
Yeah, that's right.
For his holiness.
Yes.
His righteousness.
Right.
His presence.
Help us.
His authority, but his invitation to come, and it's only because he's chosen to invite us that we could ever be there.
Yes, right. Amen. That's right.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
On that note, if you go back to Isaiah 6 quickly, I'm hurrying. But it's 24 hours earlier than normal, so I got a long time to preach.
Amen.
Anyway, go. Nah, it's okay, y'all. I'm glad. I'm glad that this is my Savior. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. I'm glad that His blood has been applied to my heart.
Amen.
I can't help but get a little bit excited.
Amen.
The who of this vision, I said, was our very own Savior.
Yes,
the where was not just in heaven on the throne, but also in His temple. And then thirdly, but I want to bring this out, notice the when. The when of this vision, verse 1 again, in the year that King Uzziah died. There's a very specific reason that is in the verse. If you know your Bible, you remember that King Uzziah died, listen now, because of his pride.
Yep.
He was a tremendous, great king. He had much success. He had many military victories. And the Bible says that he was marvelously helped. Therefore, what he's saying is that God just kept helping him, kept blessing him. The hand of God was on this young man over and over and everywhere he went. But listen, what happened was when he got strong, he was lifted up.
That's right.
The Bible says his heart was lifted up. That's simply saying he got filled with pride.
Yes, that's right.
And he no longer needed this king.
Yep.
He no longer needed this glory.
Yeah.
He no longer needed this Savior. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Here's what I mean. He went into the temple to burn incense on his own.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What does that mean? Well, see, back in the temple of the Jews, there were priests, and only the priests could do such things.
That's right.
Only the priests could go in and offer sacrifices, and only the priests could burn the altar of incense. Because listen now, the altar of incense is a picture of prayers being lifted up to God. And listen to me now, the priest was a picture of the mediator between God and God and men, and that mediator we know is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Uzziah did was he decided, I don't need a mediator.
Right.
I don't need this King, Lord Jesus. I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm good enough to go to God on my own. Such as is every single religion today in America, listen, that bases their salvation on their own works. Every single one of them that thinks they can get baptized into heaven, that thinks they can pray themselves into heaven, that thinks they can do good enough works into heaven, that's every Catholic, every Jehovah's Witness, every Mormon, every Pentecostal, every single one of them is exactly like Uzziah.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
I don't need that mediator. I don't need that Jesus. I don't need someone to help me get to Christ. But the Bible says that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And there is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King. You couldn't get to God. You understand? No man can just walk into the throne room without, like I read to you in Psalm 65, an invitation from the King. And the only way in there is through the door.
Amen.
And his name is
Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Help. Preach.
But Uzziah said, I got this. I got this. And he walked into there and he started offering up the incense himself. And the priests all ran in there and said, get out of here. It is not for you to be in here. Get out. You know what they're trying to do, don't you? They're trying to save his life.
Yeah, that's right.
But instead he got wroth. He got angry and God smote him with leprosy. For the rest of his life he died.
That's right.
He died filthy leper. I want you to notice something. In Isaiah chapter 1, look over there. I'm hurrying, but this is good. I'm having a good time, so y'all bear with me. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Well, who was the first one? Uzziah. Well, he didn't see this vision till chapter 6.
Right.
Why? Because Uzziah had to die.
Right.
What do you mean, preacher? I'm saying this is a very important principle I want you to learn today, that we have no access to God without our high priest Jesus. And as soon as we start thinking that we are going to bypass the doctrine of this Bible, the truth of Jesus Christ, do our thing our way, we're just going to make up our own rules.
Yeah. Come on.
The vision becomes very muddied.
That's right.
It's no longer clear. You see, Isaiah didn't have this clear vision until the king that was playing God died.
Right.
Come on.
And you know what your pride does, dearly beloved? It plays God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. Great.
What do you mean by that? That means when you decide...
Yeah.
You're just going to do things your way.
Uh-huh.
You're playing God.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
You're playing God.
That's right.
That's what our pride does. Don't you understand? That's what Uzziah was doing. He was taking the incense and he was going to burn it himself. Yeah. He was doing it his way. He decided he didn't care what God said. Yeah,
that's right. Amen. Yes.
Yep, that's right.
I wonder why America hasn't seen a real revival in a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
A long time.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Yeah.
Because churches are playing God.
Yeah. Come on.
People, believers, are playing God.
Yes, amen.
They're doing things their way.
Right.
Whatever they want to do.
Come on.
And the vision of God is like, is so distant. I mean, some of you couldn't even get excited when I was telling you who this was.
Come on. Like, come on, preach it. Help us. Help us. Come on.
Like that other church.
Come on. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, man, preacher. Preach it.
But you know, it's 2 minutes past 12. Just filled.
Yeah.
Puffed up.
Yes. Yes.
With pride.
That's right.
America doesn't even know who God is anymore.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
The average church doesn't even know who God is anymore.
Come on, help us.
They're not talking about His holiness.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not preaching and getting excited about His holiness.
Help us. That's right.
They're not getting excited about the fact that He is the King of all of heaven, all of earth, and even things under earth, thank God, because those are nasty, creepy, ugly things under earth.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Sometimes they surface and they rear their heads. Stay down there.
Yes, amen. Yeah, man, preacher.
But you know what? What we need to understand is there's got to be a vacancy before there will be a vision.
Amen.
Right.
There's got to be an elimination of self before there will be a vision of our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
there's got to be, see, pride must vanish before the Lord will be visible. Why do you think about, like we said Sunday night, 90% of all believers are just going to eat their turkey, watch their football, and drink their beer day after tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because they're going to do it their way.
Yep.
They're going to be their own God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And they don't have a clue who God is. They don't have a clue who Jesus is.
That's right.
And that's between them and God. But you understand, we need a clear vision, don't we?
Yes, amen. Amen. Amen.
We need a clear vision that this is our Savior. He is not some type of, he's not a carpenter who we need to step all over. He is just simply God in the flesh. He is all of God. He is all man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He is God. And He is our Savior. And He is King. And listen, but our decisions to just do whatever we want to do will muddy the waters and we won't see Him. We won't, we'll be in His temple, but we won't know that He's there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen.
Well, I've had church services like that. So have you.
Yeah.
Where is God?
Yes.
Well, the Bible tells us over and over and over. He's in His holy temple.
Yep.
That's right. Amen. Thank you,
Lord. He's in His house. It's His house.
That's right.
That's right.
He says, "Where two or three are gathered in My name, there will I be among in the midst of them." Well, wait a minute. then how is it sometimes we have no idea if he's
right.
there?
Yeah.
Because, listen, because we're full of Uzziah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Amen, preacher.
And until Uzziah dies...
Yes, amen.
Boy, all of a sudden it starts to make you think, uh-huh. doesn't it?
Yep.
You start to understand why so many people don't honor and revere and respect our Savior. As a matter of fact, you can mention the name of Allah, you can mention the name of Muhammad, you can talk about any prophet, you can talk about God all day long. But don't you mention that name Jesus.
Amen, brother. Yeah, you're preaching. Come
yes,
on. You tell
come on.
Because they forgot all about who he is.
Yeah.
And when his name is mentioned, see, whether they like it or not, he
yes.
is king.
Amen.
He is high
yeah.
and lifted up. He is holy, holy, yeah. holy.
Yeah.
And whether they like it or not, it bothers them.
Yes, that's right.
But that's our Savior.
Amen.
And that's okay to get excited about that.
Amen.
That's our Savior.
Amen.
I'm glorified. I'm
Amen.
Saved. I'm bought with the price. I'm Amen. Redeemed. Amen. Amen. I'm a child of this King.
Amen.
I'm a child of this King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I am a child of this King.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll mention His name. I'll mention His name. I'll shout His name from the housetops. Hallelujah. I'll tell the world, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. And He is still King, whether they like it or not. High and lifted up. And His glory fills the whole earth.
Yes.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
That's right.
Amen.
Whew. But boy, our pride doesn't. It just, you know, we can't have both.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't want both.
That's right.
That's
Amen.
Right.
I want Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I want Christ.
That's right.
Let my pride rot. That's okay. Let it rot.
Amen.
You see, when people start talking about the cross of Calvary
come on.
And Jesus,
yeah, come
yep.
on, bro.
You know what happens is they start getting nervous.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Because that means, you see, they couldn't save themselves.
Yep.
They had to come a holy God and manifest Himself in a body of flesh and suffer.
Yeah,
and bleed, yes, bleed His precious, pure, undefiled, sinless blood. He had to bleed that blood because that was the only price that our God would ever accept for our sin.
Amen.
Right.
Ours, all of our sin.
That's right.
And that cross and that blood made atonement for me. You see, and there was no other way. And so when the cross of Christ is mentioned, when Jesus Christ is mentioned,
yes.
you see, people know, they've heard that story. They've heard about His cross. And they know He died for their what?
Sins.
Ooh, they know that.
Yeah.
But man.
Yes.
Okay. Enough of that Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
Because that reminds me of my sin.
Yeah.
That's
Come
right,
on.
Come
Help
on.
Us. Help us. Preach it.
Enough of that preaching stuff, because that reminds me, God seems to convict me of my sin. Preacher, it doesn't matter. You don't have to say a word about it. It just... Yeah, I know. That's our King. That's our King. That's His power. When He's home in His own house, in His holy temple.
That's right.
See, the win of this vision is important. Uzziah had to die.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
Lord, help us. Can I tell you next the what of this vision? What was the outcome? Verse 5. Then said I, woe is me.
Yes.
I'm undone. Notice, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm unclean. You see, when we get a clear vision of the Lord, a clear vision of the Lord. Listen now, don't miss. When we get a clear vision of this King and His thrice holiness, His glory, His power, His throne, we see ourselves.
Yes, that's right.
And the shouting is not exactly the outcome. His true holiness reflects our true uncleanness.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like a beautiful, crystal clear mirror that you cannot look into without seeing yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a mirror that never lies.
That's right.
Yep. Ladies. It's a mirror that never lies. Don't ever ask your husband, does this make me look fat?
Amen, brother.
No. That's just a crazy question. Don't do that.
That's right.
I love you. I'm not, just don't. Anyway, go ask the mirror.
Yeah,
mirror never lies. This is a mirror that never lies.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
God, do I look unclean?
Come on, help us.
We see, if we can make God kind of, if we can throw mud on the mirror.
Yeah.
We can make the mirror dirty.
Yep.
Then we won't see who we are.
Yeah.
Really.
Yep.
Who we really are.
That's right.
That's why Isaiah said, I am unclean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woe is me. It took him 6 chapters. Because what? Because Uzziah had to die. Mm-hmm. Our pride is the mud that keeps muddying up the mirror.
Amen.
Yep.
Look at Isaiah 35, verse 8. He's speaking of heaven. He's speaking of the millennial kingdom where all sin is gone. He says, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it.
Yep.
See, this uncleanness was on Isaiah's heart and his mind the rest of his life. The unclean shall not pass over it. It's a highway of holiness, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err there. And he says, you can be a fool, but if you stay on the highway of holiness, you'll be all right.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that a thank God for that.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Looking at 59:2, Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face. His face didn't change. His face didn't change. He's still the same king from Isaiah chapter 6. But our sins, our iniquities hide His face. We try to muddy His face. We don't want to see His face.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? Isaiah is saying all this because Isaiah never forgot chapter 6.
Yes.
Look over in chapter 64. Chapter 64, verse 6. But we, he's including himself, 64, 6. We are all as an unclean thing.
Yeah.
And all, now this is 64, this is 58 chapters later. Years later, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away from that vision.
That's right.
See, what was that vision for? That vision was for Isaiah to understand who he really was.
Yeah, that's right.
After he saw a clear vision of God.
Yes.
A clear vision of our Savior. And finally, why would God do that? The why of this vision. Well, I want you to understand, I think you may have figured it out. But I believe, listen, we need to take one very important truth away from this tonight. We could never ever attain to this holiness on our own. We could never, ever even come close to that holy on our own.
That's right. Amen, preacher. Amen.
That's why he said, Isaiah 58 chapters later, is still saying, we are all unclean things.
That's right.
All of our righteousness is filthy rags. Yeah. We're all fading like leaves.
Yep.
We're getting worse, older, weaker. And he is still the same, high and lifted up, holy, his holy glory. But we are all unclean.
Yep.
That's right.
You see, that's what God was doing in Isaiah's heart.
Yes, amen.
That's what God was doing in Isaiah's mind. That's what God was doing, and I believe that's what I want God to do anyway in my heart tonight. And I hope He'll do the same thing in all of our hearts, because you see, the reason we don't really appreciate this holiness.
Yeah.
It's because we've forgotten what it cost Jesus to get us there.
Yeah. That's right.
You see, there's another chapter in Isaiah that's very well known. Isaiah 53. Look over there. Same prophet writing with this same vision on his heart. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to who is the arm of the Lord revealed? Revealed. Seen. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Now, he's remembering that vision, but now he's saying, he's prophesying of that king is going to come to our earth and manifest himself with no comeliness anymore. We shall see him, there's no beauty. He remembers that beauty in Isaiah chapter 6. But when we see him, and when the world saw him, there was no more beauty. He laid aside his kingly garments, you understand? He laid down his glory.
Yep.
He laid down his beauty. He didn't lay down his holiness, but you couldn't see it like he did in chapter 6.
That's right.
Verse 2, he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. There it is, folks.
Yeah.
We hid our faces from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely, that means verily, that means absolutely yes, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We just despised him. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
Yeah.
Remember, when God heals you, He cleans you up.
Yes,
that's what He's doing. All we like sheep. There's that word again. All of our righteousnesses. All of us like sheep have gone astray.
Yes, amen.
We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, there's that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Why do you think Isaiah wrote that with such genuine, heartfelt sincerity? Because he knew who he was. He knew who God was. Because he got a clear vision. I don't want you to see anything tonight but our Savior high and lifted up.
Amen.
And then understand, listen, that Christ had to come and become this man in chapter 53, the very King of all heaven, so that we could be with Him.
Yes, amen.
You see, that temple, that holiness, that King of Kings, that throne room, that's where we're going to be for all eternity.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Oh, Americans get excited about a lot of things.
Amen. Yeah.
A lot of things, don't they?
Yeah.
But they fall asleep in church.
Come on, man. Preach it. Preach it.
I hear you, brother.
Preach. Help us.
That's okay. As for me,
yes. Come on.
This is my Savior.
Yes. Come on.
And I'm thankful. I'm thankful.
Amen.
In the year that King Uzziah died, the who? Jesus. He saw Jesus. I saw the Lord high and lifted up on the throne. Where? On the throne in the temple in heaven. When? After King Uzziah died. After King Pride died. And what did he see then? a clear vision of himself. Why?
Yeah.
Why? So he could better appreciate the sacrificial Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Do you really appreciate what Jesus... I mean, do we? Come on. I don't think we do. I know we don't like we need to.
Yeah.
But without that cross, without that holy blood... You see, he laid down his kingly garments, and he stepped down from his throne, and he came all the way down to this old rotten planet filled with sin, cursing his name the whole time he walked with them. But he didn't lay down his holiness.
That's right.
He didn't give up his sinlessness. He was still God.
Amen.
And he died on that old rugged cross. And that blood was spotless.
Amen.
Without blemish.
Yep. Thank you, God.
The blood of our precious Lamb.
The
day you got saved, dearly beloved, was the day you were given access to that throne room. Because his righteousness in Christ became our righteousness by grace. Without this cross, this blood, and this broken body, that holiness would be nothing but a vision that we would never, ever even come close to.
Amen.
I want to read to you one more passage of Scripture, then we're going to have a word of invitation, a time of invitation. The Bible says that I received of the Lord also that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye shall show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 11, Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What I want to do tonight, while we have the invitation, is I want you to spend some time judging yourself.
Amen.